Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Anyone who now has kids in college or kids who are preparing to go to college knows just how much college expenses have increased just in recent years or in the last decade or decade and a half. And it's not even just college costs that have increased. Educational costs at all levels have been gradually on the rise. Parents, even of little preschoolers, feel those increases. And even though kids who go to public elementary schools and high schools can go there for free, yet taxpayers have also been feeling the pressure of those increased costs of even public school education. Every year, trillions of dollars are spent on education. Yet despite all that spending and emphasis on education, there is still a vast majority of people in the world who, in spite of all of this pursuit of learning and knowledge and wisdom, they still lack the true wisdom of God that saves and sanctifies and gives eternal life to all who believe. Even in the Christian church, although divine wisdom, wisdom from God, is present in the Bible and is freely available to all who would seek it, yet so many people, even in the church, fail to see the importance of continuing to grow in understanding and knowledge of this wisdom of God. In order that all of us may be encouraged to continue in our devotion to God's Word, let's give careful attention to our reading this morning from the book of Proverbs and to the instruction that we are given here. We'll look at what exactly the wisdom is that is mentioned in these verses. We'll look at the nature of this invitation from wisdom, and also at the benefits of accepting that invitation. The term wisdom in the book of Proverbs is often used figuratively. It's a personification for the truth that comes from God, that's communicated to God's people in the Word of God. Ultimately, this wisdom includes all of the teaching from God throughout the whole Bible, especially the wisdom that is centered on the good news of salvation through Jesus. In Proverbs chapters 8 and 9, this personification of wisdom reaches its climax. And it appears that in the reading before us today, we're dealing with more than just a simple rhetorical or literary device. Although wisdom is referred to in these verses with feminine pronouns, as abstract concepts and ideas frequently were in ancient times, yet wisdom in this section of Proverbs has often been identified by theologians and Bible scholars as being the second person of the Trinity himself, the Son of God, Jesus, our Savior. Through Jesus, through his saving and sanctifying work, his knowledge and love and grace is revealed to all people through the writers of the books of the Bible. In the first verses of our reading, we see wisdom making great preparations for a huge banquet and sending out invitations to all people to come and join that banquet. First, we see that wisdom builds a house, a location where this great feast will be held. As we look at that house in our reading, we can see that that could be representative of the church, of the assembly of all believers in God, where God's word is proclaimed, and also thus where Jesus is present, where he is at work in the hearts of all who hear his word. Therefore, also the meat and the wine that are offered at that meal represent the word of God that we feast on when we accept that invitation to wisdom's banquet. And wisdom sends out invitations to everyone to come to the feast. Those servants who carry out that invitation are God's messengers. In the Old Testament times, they were the prophets whom God had called to speak to his people. In the New Testament, we can identify them as the apostles, the disciples whom God sent out. And also in our present day as pastors, teachers, evangelists, missionaries, and even all of God's people whom God has called and sent out to be his missionaries, to bring the good news of salvation and forgiveness through Jesus to other people around us in our lives. We recall the words that Jesus spoke to those 72 disciples that he sent out on their first short missionary journey. He said to them in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." And besides the preparations that we see mentioned in our reading of preparing the banquet hall and preparing the food for the banquet and sending out invitations, we should also think of another critical aspect of that preparation that wisdom made for this banquet. That's the sacrifice of Jesus for all humankind. The eternal Son of God who created the world and who owns all glory and honor in the universe, he became a lowly human being in order to redeem our fallen, sinful human race. If Jesus had not done this, God would have had to condemn all of us to eternal punishment in hell. But the wonderful good news of the gospel of God is this: that God the Father sent his Son and laid on him the sins of us all. As Isaiah prophesied about 700 years before the birth of Jesus, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Through faith in Jesus, we receive the forgiveness of our sins. We receive eternal life and eternal salvation. What amazing grace this is, that God, our loving Father, gave his own Son, Jesus. That Jesus willingly gave his life to save ours. And that Jesus and God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to call us, to enlighten us, to sanctify us, so that we might be his own, right now and for all eternity with God in heaven. Let's look now more closely at the gifts that wisdom gives. Listen again to the words of wisdom's invitation in our reading. "Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To someone who lacks sense, she says, 'Come, eat my food, and drink the wine that I have mixed. Abandon your naive ways and live. Travel the road to understanding.'" The naive person is invited to come to wisdom's house for the purpose of gaining knowledge and gaining wisdom from God. This naive person represents someone who lacks experience or understanding of spiritual matters. This person is perhaps very impressionable, is open to being easily influenced by whatever voices or opinions or teachings he or she hears around them, and thus also is very easily misled. This person needs wisdom to guide the pathway of his or her life. The same individual is also referred to in the following verses as someone who lacks sense or lacks understanding. Someone who walks in naive ways. This represents, therefore, not only those who don't yet believe in Jesus as their Savior, but also represents all Christians who have not yet steeped themselves fully in the study and understanding of God's Word. The understanding that wisdom gives to those who seek it is the truth that all people are by nature and by behavior sinful, and therefore under the wrath of God, that all of us have violated God's holy law in our thoughts and desires, in our words, and in our actions, and that left on our own, all of us would have to suffer the punishment from God both in this life and for eternity in hell after this life is over. However, God has loved all people in spite of their stubborn sinfulness. And God promised to send a deliverer to rescue people from condemnation, by paying for their sins, and by destroying the work of the devil that is against us. All those sacrifices that God had commanded his people to make in the Old Testament, all of those pointed ahead to this ultimate sacrifice of the Messiah. Through faith in him, all of God's people could receive full pardon for their sins. And God wanted his people to respond to this grace and this goodness of his with faith and with love for him and for his commandments that he has given. That's what it means to travel the road to wisdom, as mentioned in verse 6 of our reading. God wants that break with our old sinful ways to be a complete separation. Old ways and sinful associations have to be completely broken off. Devotion to the Lord and to his ways has to be wholehearted. The obedience of the faithful is also graciously rewarded with further blessings, even in this life, both spiritual and material blessings. Disobedience, however, will receive both temporal and eternal punishment from God. So the best way to continue in life is to continually study, to remember, and to do the will of God. We who believe in Jesus as our Savior know all of this, and we have accepted, we have at our disposal the entire teaching of the New Testament to give us this true spiritual wisdom. We are so blessed to be able to know and to see the fulfillment of all of those prophecies of God about the Savior of the world as we read and learn about the person and work of Jesus the Savior in the Gospels in the New Testament. By God's grace, by the call of the Holy Spirit and his work in our hearts through the Gospel, we have accepted this invitation to feast at wisdom's banquet. And now we enjoy all of the rich blessings of salvation. Wisdom has promised peace and fellowship with God, which comes from the forgiveness of our sins. Faith in Jesus also brings to us eternal life that does not end when our bodies die, but that continues with life forever with God in the perfect peace and joy of heaven. Possession of this kind of life brings with it wonderful blessings even right now, even in the course of our earthly life, which is still affected by the problems of this world. We receive such blessings as the ability to live with confidence and with continual joy deep down in our hearts, with a sure understanding and faith that the Holy Spirit gives us through his word, faith in God's promises that can never be shaken. Right now, we have the power of Jesus because of his victory over sin and death. That power enables us to produce fruit of faith in our lives as we follow God's will by grace. God promises us physical and spiritual protection in our lives. He promises that he is always with us and that he sends his powerful, holy angels to watch over us and guard us from all the attacks and temptations of the devil. And God also promises temporal prosperity and honor to those who trust in him and follow his ways. Listen to these words that God speaks to us earlier in the book of Proverbs in chapter 4. He says, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Let us therefore continuously and tirelessly pursue this wisdom and grow in the understanding of its priceless and eternal truths. Let's strive through continuing and intensive Bible study to inquire as much insight and understanding of God's truth as we possibly can. And let's strive to communicate this wisdom of God to others by faithfully testifying about the truth of God's love through Jesus. May God help us always to heed and accept and then spread his wisdom, this gracious invitation, both for the glory of God, for our own eternal salvation, and for the salvation of many others. May God grant it in Jesus' name.